This is The Edge with your hosts, Jonathan Von Tobel.
All right, welcome back in second hour. Plenty to get to here. We have line moves, total moves in the National Football League. Jeff Motley's going to join us. It's Thursday, so it's our usual spot when we talk about the NASCAR Cup Series. So we're getting closer and closer to the end. But let's welcome in Matt Humans, who's with us every single Thursday, a man who's always happy when he's capping. What's up, Humans?
Hey, man, just watching NFL Network, waiting for some bad COVID news to break on some teams I was going to bet on this week. Otherwise, nothing else happening. That's about it.
I think one of those teams would be the Raiders, right? Were you not looking at the Las Vegas Raiders?
I was looking at the Raiders. And I think about a half hour after Point Spread Weekly went out with my Raiders pick in it, half their entire offensive line got wiped out by COVID, and Jonathan Abrams is out, too. I don't know. We'll see what happens with the situation with the Raiders. I know the South Point, a lot of books took the game off the board yesterday. But, you know, if Trent Brown is the only guy who's out, then I still feel okay with being on the Raiders' side of things on Sunday Night Football. But if it's multiple offensive linemen out of the game, I don't. It's very tough to even look at the home dog in that case. You have to get off the game. I haven't made the bet yet. I just put the pick in, you know. JVT, we talked about this a lot. You gotta be careful when you bet these games early in the week. And, you know, so I've gone to, I guess, a philosophy of making really small bets early in the week if I like a number, if I feel safe, somewhat safe betting a game, or I just hold off and bet a game late in the week. You know, I also like Minnesota this week against Michigan. And I walked in South Point. And Tim Murray says, hey, did you hear about the COVID news with the Minnesota football program? Like, all right, tell me something positive for once. It seems like every side of a football game I want to play, is the COVID issues pop up during the week. So I don't know, man.
Would you have literally danced if Tim was like, actually, they're all immune and nothing's ever going to happen to them. They're fine. By the way, the news is Tashawn Reed, who covers the Las Vegas Raiders for The Athletic. This was about 10:49, so this was 15 minutes ago or so. Raiders' entire starting offensive line safety, Jonathan Abram, remain out of practice today as part of contact tracing protocol following Trent Brown's positive test for COVID-19 earlier this week. And as Tashawn notes, they have not practiced since Monday. That number right now, Tampa Bay up 3.5 here at the South Point, 4 in other spots, total down to about 52. And Humans, you know, it's funny, you talk about that at the beginning of the week. This was one of the rare totals that I had played. I had bet this under 53.5, and there's still 53.5s out there. But I have no idea what something like this would do to a wager like that for me either. So betting these early, there have been times where I've been burned throughout this football season. There have been times where I've been a beneficiary of it. So I have no idea what to do with certain things. But I do know what I want to do in one spot. And I feel like I know what your answer is going to be here. I took 13 with the Jets, Humans. I'm in. I am in. What do you think?
You know, I'm not going to argue with that. I think that's a side I would play if I played the game, but I'm also not going to give you a rousing endorsement of the Jets pick. I was looking for spots to fade the Bills, starting with their game in Las Vegas a few weeks ago, and I thought the Raiders kind of let them off the hook that day. But the Bills have not played well since then, and this is a big number to cover on the road. But it's such a dumpster fire with the Jets and their coaching staff. You know, those guys don't want to play for Adam Gase and Greg Williams, and I think it's tough to get on that side. It's going to be even more intriguing the following week when the Jets are getting about 21 to 24 points at Kansas City.
Yep. Yeah, I get it. So out of all the games then, we talked about the Bucs game, all the COVID issues. What on the NFL board has still stuck out to you that we don't have any news or bad teams involved?
I'm looking at the Bengals as home dogs. I think Cincinnati plus 3.5 might be a spot. I hate to say this. It's one of those hold-your-nose picks, but it's also a buy-low spot. There's so much dissension in Dallas right now. But do you play the Cowboys and pick them just based on the fact they have far superior offensive skill talent?
I'm thinking about it.
What's that?
I said, I'm thinking about it. I mean, I said it early. I said it right after the game on Monday. I came in on Tuesday. I would make that Cowboys bet again against the Cardinals every time because I felt like it was the right side. And I feel like right now it's a slight overreaction to drive this down 3 points to pick. Zeke Elliott fumbled twice. He lost both of them in the first half. Andy Dalton threw an interception that, I don't know, I thought it was really physical. Probably could have called a penalty on it. Like, you could look at a lot of what happened in that Cardinals game and still see, like, the offensive talent for the Cowboys. And to, like, downgrade them by 3 points to the point where this is pick against Washington, I am very tempted by the Cowboys just to pick in this spot.
It's a buy low spot. You know, we talked about the day before, before the Cowboys lost that game Monday night to the Cardinals. That was Cowboys minus three on the board. I'm not sure it was ugly as it looked, because if Zeke Elliott doesn't lose those two fumbles, the Cowboys are not in a 14-0 hole right off the bat. How about Michael Gallup dropping a touchdown pass at the goal line? The pick on what should have been a pass interference call. Mike McCarthy with the brain-dead decision to send the kicker out for a 58-yard attempt, down 21-3. The Cowboys made so many mistakes in that game. The talent's still there. I haven't made the play yet. I'm debating it. Do I take Dallas a pick? That's one I'm thinking about. I know you jumped off the Atlanta Falcons bandwagon a week too early. They made the coaching change, and Raheem Morris and the Falcons looked like world beaters last week. I'm going to pass on that this week. I'm thinking about the Texans, the 3.5-point home dogs to the Packers, the Cardinals getting 3.5 at home. I think I did put a Titans plus two pick in Point Spread Weekly. So that one swung in my favor, because since we put that magazine out, Tennessee's now the 1-point favorite, was a 2-point dog. I think Sunday, or it would be Monday night, you and I will probably be on opposite sides. I don't believe in this Bears team whatsoever. I think they're due for a beatdown. And the Rams, off that poor performance Sunday night, I think bounce back and get a convincing win over the Bears. So that's a rare favorite. I haven't played many favorites in the NFL recently, but I'm looking at the Rams minus 5.5. Actually, it's moved to 6 almost every spot Monday night. And the last one is, what do you do with the Patriots right now?
Yep.
They got a couple guys David Andrews, a couple offensive linemen back at practice today. Last week, I thought that was a really big issue in that Patriots loss to the Broncos was Cam Newton just didn't have any time to throw. He was under constant pressure. I've said this about Cam a lot of times. He's got poor mechanics, poor footwork in the pocket. And when he's under pressure, the guy can't throw with any accuracy. When he gets outside the pocket and runs, he can actually make some plays. Patriots offensive line was a big problem last week. I thought led to him looking pretty bad in that game, pretty ragged in that game. I like the Pats a little bit as 2-point home favorites here, but that's a very unpopular side right now. I think a lot of people are kind of giving up on the Pats, writing them off. And I know a lot of sharp bettors who like the 49ers side of that game, but to me, it looks like maybe a buy low spot on Belichick off a loss at, you know, minus 1.5 or 2.
Yeah, I would agree with you. So it screams buy low spot for New England. And humans, what I find funny is I feel like the market's kind of like now overcorrecting itself, because last week the market gets burned where they're like, holy crap, the 49ers got blown up by the Dolphins. They should be 3-point underdogs at home to the Rams. And then they're in complete command of that game, and then they win. And now it's like, oh, holy crap, the Patriots lost to the Broncos and the 49ers proved us wrong. Let's come in on San Francisco. And it's like, you know, let's pump the brakes. They're somewhere in the middle here. There's still a really banged up defense. And the Patriots, I don't think, are as bad, especially defensively. That secondary I still like a lot. I would be with you. And I'm curious to see where the line move like goes and where the ceiling is for this. Because I'm with you. Like, I like the Patriots too, because it screams buy low spot, but I don't know if the market's just going to keep coming in here to the point where you're going to get something a little bit better than two, you know?
Yeah. I see 1.5 at a couple of spots around, but you know, that's what I look for a lot of times in the NFL, is called market overreactions or public perception. You know, when nobody in the betting public wants anything to do with a team, that's a lot of times when you want to jump on. Now, the Jets might be an exception.
No.
we'll find out this week if the Cowboys are an exception. But, you know, last week at the same time, you and I were talking, and I was on the 49ers in that Sunday night game against the Rams. And all week, you know, you have people ask you, what do you like in the NFL this week? What do you like? And I would say, you know, 49ers, I'm playing these home dogs. I'm on the 49ers. Oh, no, I'm on the Rams. You know, nobody wanted it really anything to do with the 49ers. You actually started to see some money come in on the San Francisco side on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of bettors end up getting on the right side of that game. But again, in the NFL, you want to bet against public perception sometimes or overreactions. And I think two teams right now that nobody really wants to bet this week are the Cowboys and the Patriots. So I'm going to look at those two teams.
So I want to get your thoughts because you mentioned it as well. The Monday or was it Sunday night or Monday night? Los Angeles Rams Monday night and the Chicago Bears. So I would actually agree with you because I did use the Bears plus the six right in Point Spread Weekly. And I do want to bet Chicago on the spot because I agree with you that a beatdown is coming for Chicago. Like they're clearly not a like they're not representative of their record in terms of the ceiling of this team and what they are. Defensively, they're extremely good, but offensively, they have a very low ceiling. Humans, I just don't think that the Rams are the team to deliver that beatdown. You know, like the Rams are extremely reliant on the run game. If the run game's not going, play action's not working, Jared Goff is not going to have a good game. I just don't know if the Rams should be a 6-point favorite, really, against a lot of teams. And that's why I played six, because I like this Bears defense so much that I think they're going to be able to stay within a number like this against a team on the Rams level.
Yeah, I'm putting my faith in Sean McVay more than Jared Goff in this spot because I think McVay, if you look, the Rams swept the NFC East, right? So the Rams are the NFC East champions for 2020. They are 4-0 against the NFC East. And Sean McVay had a coaching edge in all four of those matchups, and he's got a big coaching edge again this week against the Bears. He did not have that last week against Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. McVay, I think, can scheme the Rams into a win in this spot. Like I said, I've never been a Jared Goff fan, but the Rams made so many miscues in that game Sunday night that I think made it look worse than it really was. It was a little atypical that team. And I will give the Bears this. Their defense is better than I initially thought. They have not faced great offenses. They're not going to face a great offense again this week. I just look for spots where I think overvalued teams are about to crash back to earth. And I think the Bears are headed in that direction. I just, and you look at all the analytics on Football Outsiders or Pro Football Focus. There are not very many flattering numbers with the Bears that indicate that this team is as good as its record or anywhere close. And I'm looking for spots to fade the Bears. I obviously have been burned a couple times with a comeback at Detroit and a comeback at Atlanta. I did bet the Bears once in that Thursday night game against the Bucks, but I see beatdowns headed for this team. It's at some point, reality has to hit the Bears.
All right, let's transition over to college football. I guess it's an open-ended question. What's at the top of the list for you that you're looking at?
I'm going to look at some home dogs in the college football card this week. I'm going to got two in the Big Ten and at least one in the Mountain West. And I'm going to play – I've already played this one. I played Minnesota early in the week at plus 3.5. That was before I knew the COVID news within the program. I guess it's more rumors than news. We really don't know who's affected for the Golden Gophers. But I played Minnesota plus 3.5. Like I said, I've been making small bets early in the week and then sometimes betting bigger closer to the weekend when you feel safer about the play. But you also sometimes lose the best of the number if you do that. But that's a chance you take. 3.5 with the Gophers. I would still play it at 3. It's going to be interesting, too. You might want to look under the total in this game. You can find a 55 out there. I think it's going to be windy and cold, and there's a chance of snow. So there's weather in the Midwest that you have to look at in some of these games this week. The interesting thing with the Wolverines, they've won 16 straight in Minneapolis. I don't think that has any bearing on this week's game, obviously. But you look at Jim Harbaugh's struggles against ranked teams, all that stuff. Just kind of throw that out. My appreciation for the Golden Gophers. So that's an 11-2 team last year with quarterback Tanner Morgan back. He had 30 touchdown passes. Rashad Bateman might be the best wide receiver in the Big Ten, a top half of the first round NFL draft pick. He opts back in. Minnesota's got a lot of players back from that 11-win team. And Michigan lost the second most players of any college football team to the NFL draft behind LSU. Michigan still got a ton of talent, but you also have a rookie quarterback and Joe Milton, who's starting on the road for the first time. Milton's 6'5", 250, can throw the ball 80 yards. Position coach at Michigan has compared him to Patrick Mahomes, says he's a future first-round pick, if not the number one pick. But from what I hear, he is not the most accurate passer. He's more of an athlete. So I'm going to play the Golden Gophers in that spot, +3.5. I also played Purdue +3.5 at home against Iowa. Circus Sports opened that Purdue -2, a flip to Iowa -4. The COVID news came out about Jeff Brohm. He is not going to be a coach, but his brother Brian, who's offensive coordinator, is going to be acting head coach. So I don't think that's a big deal there. It's not like Nick Saban missing on the sideline for Alabama like we thought was going to be the case last week. So a couple of home dogs in the Big Ten. I got to tell you, I'm on Nevada Wolfpack.
Yes.
I've not bet this game yet, but I'm about to pull the trigger, JVT. Circus Sports just moved to 5. You can get Nevada +5. This is a Wolfpack team with 17 starters back, including the quarterback, Carson Strong. These are two, aside from Boise State, I think these are the two teams I like the most in the Mountain West, which is ironic, Wyoming and Nevada, and they play each other in week 1. But this is a spot I think we have an experienced Nevada team catching a bigger number. I essentially made this game a pick. I want to know what you made this game. You did the Mountain West preview in the BSN College Football Guide that comes out today. What did you make this number?
I thought Nevada was going to be a 1-point favorite, humans. We got 5 seconds left, so I'll tell you the rest of that later today.
No.
All right, Matt Youmans at Matt Youmans 24/7. When we come back to the National Football League, some news this morning. The Minnesota Vikings just like, nah, we don't want Yannick. We're out. Hey, Bet Rivers Sportsbook has special offers for all the NFL action this weekend. Starting tonight with turnover insurance. Oh, man. You might need that with Daniel Jones playing quarterback, huh? When you bet at least $50 on the spread of the Giants-Eagles game, every time the team you picked makes a turnover, you get a $10 free bet. Plus, Sunday Night Football bet match up to $50 in profit boost Sundays with a 50% profit boost to use on one NFL game when you log in on Sundays. Got to be 21. Check Bet River Sportsbook app for details. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. If you have a gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House. So I wanted to address something really quickly. This was the news of the day in the morning in the National Football League as the Minnesota Vikings. Not a really good look for the Minnesota Vikings up to this point, but they have shipped off Yannick Ngakoue. They send a second-round pick, of course, and a fifth-round pick to the Jaguars, Minnesota does, to get Yannick Ngakoue earlier in the season. Now they ship him off to the Ravens for a third-round pick and a fifth-round pick. And to me, this is the epitome of the Ravens playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers. This season alone, the Ravens got Calais Campbell, who right now is grading out about a 73, very good defensive end for them, from the Jags for a fifth-round pick. And then they go and chip a third and a fifth for Yannick Ngakoue to add to that front seven. And this is the thing, too, with the Baltimore Ravens. That I feel like people would think initially that the Ravens are like a dominant pass-rushing team. Well, they're really not. They actually just blitz a lot to generate the pressure that they need. Now you have Calais Campbell, of course, and he's not a dominant, like, edge-bending rusher, but he's still a very good front seven piece, a very good defensive end with pass-rushing ability. And then you get Yannick Ngakoue, who I don't think he's as good as he thinks he is, but still, at this point this season, he comes in with 5 sacks in 5 games for the Minnesota Vikings, now a member of the Baltimore Ravens. To me, this is a great pickup for Baltimore, man. And this is a team, too, in Baltimore that still ranks near the top in terms of defense, and they're a team, by the way, one of the best still in terms of coverage in the National Football League. But you're talking about the fourth best defense in the NFL in terms of efficiency standards, and last year they were third. Getting a guy with already 5 sacks through 5 games at essentially the cheap, which is a third and a fifth. And by the way, this was pointed out too in social media, that the Minnesota Vikings, not only do you lose a second-round pick for essentially nothing, you get a third-round pick that's near the back end of the third round. So you traded away a second-round pick near the top of the second round for a back-end third-round pick. All the way around, just a bad deal for the Minnesota Vikings. Makes you wonder why they punted so quickly on this. But overall, you bought low if you were the Baltimore Ravens, And I kind of like this, man. You got two top-tier defensive ends this season alone for the price of two fifth-round picks and a third. And that's something that I think is a massive deal. So now Baltimore, of course, sitting on a bye week. You get the week to get him acclimated and then another week preparation-wise to get ready for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who, by the way, have had injuries along the offensive line. So it makes it an even more fascinating matchup. But to me, like, this is I'm all in on something like this. The Baltimore Ravens have shown that they're a little bit of, in terms of a step ahead in terms of the front office, the way they have made acquisitions, buying low, of course, and training into the back end and getting Lamar Jackson where they're at this point. But I don't know how you can look at this move and not really like it for Baltimore because Yannick Ngakoue, it's pretty clear that he's kind of maybe a pain in the neck. I hate to be cheesy about it, but Baltimore might be the organization to get the most out of him. And even then, he's still got five sacks again through five games. So a very positive move here for the Baltimore Ravens. And just to reiterate, for those who weren't with us at the start of human spot here, their update for the Las Vegas Raiders, entire starting offensive line, safety Jonathan Abram, both units, I guess you should say, but the entire starting offensive line and safety Jonathan Abram remain out of practice today as part of a contact tracing protocol following Trent Brown's positive test. You remember Trent Brown, of course, their offensive lineman they paid out the nose for COVID-19 earlier this week. All of those guys have not practiced since Monday. That's a courtesy of Deshaun Reed, who covers the Raiders for The Athletic. We're looking right now at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and this number had been slowly moving in favor of Tampa Bay anyway. Remember, the look-ahead was Raiders and Bucs pick. But after the results of 38-10 against the Green Bay Packers, market reopened to 2.5. Now we're sitting at the Westgate and multiple other shop stations as well here in Las Vegas, at least, at Bucs -4. Total's gone from 53.5 to 52. 52.5 in other spots as well. Still a couple of 53.5s out there, including right here at the South Point Hotel and Casino. This is a game that I actually bet under 53.5, so it'll be interesting to see what the ramifications are here of this game and of these positive tests. But again, Las Vegas Raiders staring at a contest with a very good front seven in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers without potentially their entire starting offensive line and their starting safety in Jonathan Abram against that offense. So keep an eye on that as we get closer to the weekend. A lot of news you got to keep up with. When we come back, though, we'll take a look. That Bucs game is actually one of the games we will discuss, at least in terms of side moves and adjustments. You know the reason there. We'll try to find out the reason behind some of the other games as well. And, of course, it's Thursday, so we wrap it up with our spot, Jeff Motley and the host from Gone Racing on NASCAR. On Tuesday, October 27th, we're going to be live streaming the entire Circuit Grand Opening event exclusively on VSiN.com, starting at 10 p.m. Eastern and going all through the night, leading up to the first broadcast of Follow the Money from our new studios inside the Circuit Sportsbook at 7 a.m. Eastern on Wednesday, October 28th. It's 12 hours of live insider coverage from the Circuit Grand Opening event on the 27th, 28th, all for free on VSiN.com. Join Derek Stevens, Mike Palm, the VSiN team, and a guest list full of Vegas icons and celebrities like Paul Howard for all these festivities starting at 10 p.m. Eastern, all for free, only on VSiN.com. I think I'll have shrimp cocktails. I feel like that's a fancy thing to have. Shrimp cocktails. No?
I hope they do for you, man. Do you like shrimp cocktail? I'm kind of indifferent to it.
I don't like cocktail sauce.
Yeah, it's not very good.
Like, the shrimp by themselves are solid.
Yeah,
you know?
I'd probably rather do, like, A1 sauce. I'm going to say it. Is that weird?
I've never had that combo. I mean, I like A1 sauce, and I like shrimp.
So, hey.
I like Worcestershire sauce.
run that one by me again.
Did I do an extra Worcestershire?
No, you're good. That's good.
Okay. Worcestershire? Man, the boss is mad at this. All right. Let's talk about numbers, man. Talk about football, bro. It's all that matters. Happy capping. All right. National Football League. We got some numbers that have moved around here. Let's discuss them, and let's see where they have moved, why they have moved, and maybe some potential on the other side. Now, a couple of these are actually, like the Bills and Jets game you're going to see on this graphic, a little dated. Sent them in this morning. Since this morning, the number has come off of it. But here are your Week 7 line moves, at least the notable line moves in the National Football League, right? Cowboys at the team. Opened up Cowboys -3, now sitting at pick. There's a couple of buy low spots here on this board. Some of them are pretty ugly. I'm kind of in, though. We discussed this with Matt Eumanns. Cowboys down to a pick. Again, when you're talking about moving numbers, right, like we're talking essentially like moving power ratings and what have it, I don't think the Cowboys are like got 3 points worse after what we saw against the Arizona Cardinals, given all the details of that game. And again, Andy Dalton was fine. He wasn't at his peak at all. But to me, the story was the defense. But the defense is now taking on one of the worst offenses in the National Football League in the Washington football team. So now down to pick, I would expect this to be the floor. I would expect that pick is not going to go to Washington minus one. So Cowboys open three, got to pick. That's where we're at right now across the board. Also on this list, if you're watching up on VSiN.com, Bills at Jets, Bills minus 10.5. I actually got to Bills minus 13, but now we're looking at 12.5 or 12. And actually, circa's down to 11.5 for the Buffalo Bills on the road against the New York Jets. 12.5 in other spots. Look, there are rumblings that maybe potentially Sam Darnold could be available, but more importantly, a healthier at offensive tackle, healthier at wide receiver, and to me, maybe a Bills team that is slightly overvalued. I think it's been proven a little bit here over the last 2 weeks that the Bills are kind of who, I shouldn't say who we thought they were, but a Bills team that I think if you watched closely enough and looked at some of the numbers behind their performances in the early goings of the season, this Bills team that showed up the last 2 weeks that has lost two straight and has not looked good offensively, is the same team that we've actually seen through the first 4 weeks of the season. It's just that the flaws get exposed against good teams. Having said that, too, we're talking about overall efficiency. Buffalo Bills, according to DVOA metrics, if we're talking about just overall team efficiency, actually rank right now in the NFL 19th in the NFL. Not a team that was undefeated, right, and fighting for a top spot in the AFC. Also on this list, Buccaneers and Raiders, we talked about that, but just to reiterate, opened up pick, now up to Buccaneers 4 or 3.5, depending on where you shop for your number. Steelers and Titans, this is an interesting spot, and actually, I kind of get this, right? Like, I don't think the Titans are that good. Kind of like the Steelers a little bit here, but didn't want to lay 2.5 on the road, and I get it, home field advantage, whatever, how much is it worth? Titans should probably be favored in that match, and now they are laying a point here against the Steelers. So I can understand that line move. Eumanns, of course, as you discussed, using a points for weekly was on that before the line move. So again, from Steelers minus 2.5 to Titans minus 1. And another, I guess, a buy low spot. This show has been consistently fading the Jacksonville Jaguars, but kind of in now. Chargers opened up 9.5 down to 7.5. That's the correct market move. An overreaction. Look, it's funny because the market, this is like the epitome of a buy low spot, right? The market, every single game this season for the Jacksonville Jaguars, they have been in. They have bet the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they have been burned for the last four games. Now, all of a sudden, the market turns on them against the hot team and the Chargers, and they're not even that hot. It's just the fact that Justin Herbert's looked good, and they've covered some numbers. But again, we're talking about covering numbers like 7.5, right? The big number against the Chargers. Like, those are different roles than laying 9.5 or 7.5 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Too high. So I'm in. I think this is the ultimate buy-low spot here for the Jacksonville Jaguars. As far as totals are concerned, well, we got five games in terms of totals that have moved here a little bit in the NFL. First up, Cowboys and the football team. Like we discussed, side-wise, well, total-wise, this has dropped as well. I can understand it, right, from the perspective of one of the worst offenses in the NFL, everybody being a little down on the Cowboys. I do wonder, like, the factored into the equation, right, as bad as the Cowboys' defense has been, what Washington can do offensively from that standpoint, open 49, down to 46. Bills at Jets, open 48, down to 45. Interesting that a number that was as high as 13, but the total drops 3 points to 45. So an interesting correlation there that the market had bet the Bills up or adjusted the Bills up to 13, but the total down to 45. 49ers and Patriots, another buy low spot for the Pats, not a massive move on the side, but the total has dropped from 45.5 to 43.5. Chiefs at Broncos opened up 48.5 down to 46. Steelers at Titans is going to be really interesting, man. Steelers and Titans opened up 52.5 down to 50.5. These are two teams that, at least in terms of their offensive rankings, efficiency-wise, both teams defensively, solid in the National Football League, both top half of the NFL. Pittsburgh second in overall defense right now. By the way, that Indianapolis defense, oh, shocking. They have started to drop now down to third in the NFL in terms of overall defensive efficiency. The Titans, on the other hand, and this is part of the reason why I am kind of on the train of the Titans aren't as good as you think they are, 22nd in the National Football League in overall defensive efficiency, the Tennessee Titans. They have not been good on the defensive side. The Steelers have been okay on the offensive side of the ball, but you wonder if that's something they can exploit here in this matchup. And again, playing into the fact why I think the Titans are a little fraudulent strong, right? Like, they're going to be a playoff team. It's just how good are they in the grand scheme of things? Is there another run to an AFC championship game? You know, that's a conversation for down the road. And then Bears at Rams, open 47, down to 45. As we discussed with the humans earlier in the show, I am all in on the mindset that the Chicago Bears are not as good as their 5-1 record, right? Says they could be. Obviously, there's more to a record than just what it is. Although, what's the old cliche? You just play who's in front of you. They're the fifth overall defense in terms of efficiency. Their offense, though, is in the bottom half of the league. They are due for a regression at some point. The question you have to ask yourself is, are the Los Angeles Rams the one to hand them that spot, right? Like, we're coming off of a game in which the market overreacted, especially after what happened with the 49ers. They were a 3-point favorite on the road. They were never close to winning or covering that game. Like, I just think this Rams team is not really that good. And so I'd rather take 6 with the Bears team here than, you know, lay that with the Rams. But that total from 47 to 45. It is Thursday, which means we dive into the NASCAR Cup Series. When we return, Jeff Motley is going to be with us. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. You instantly get a list of quality candidates from Indeed's resume database. The moment you sponsor a job, get started at Indeed.com/credit. All right, Thursdays here on The Edge. We do the same thing every single time to round out the day. Of course, that is chatting with the guys from Gone Racing. Jeff Motley with us here today. What's up, man?
Doing great. Only got 3 races left in the season.
I was going to say, you getting sad?
Counting down. Yeah, it's, you know, we have a lot of fun doing the show, and season's exciting, but, you know, it's a short off season too. So we'd be back on Valentine's Day for the Daytona 500. So right. It's not a long off season.
Well, and we were talking, I think was I talking with this you 2 weeks ago or Brendan last week? The schedule's starting to come out, and it is setting up pretty nicely for next year, right? Like, it's a pretty good schedule for them.
Yeah, it's a great schedule. We're going to have 6 road courses next year, as opposed to this year. We had, I think we had 3 on the schedule and ended up, I don't know how many we ended up having. We had to cancel one and moved another one somewhere, but have a dirt race next year on the schedule. We're going to go to some new racetracks. We've never raced a cup race at Road America or at Circuit of the Americas or at Nashville Super Speedway. We've never raced a cup race on the road course at Indianapolis. So, yeah, 2021 is going to be pretty exciting. The only thing it's not changing is the playoffs. Going to be the exact same 10 playoff races in the exact same order they are this year.
Okay. I mean, that's actually, once we get there, that's an interesting handicap too, considering that we just saw it run the year before and we'll see it again. But let's get into what we're going to see this coming weekend. First off, Joey Logano gets the win last week. 2 races in which he's been great. 2nd at Charlotte, then gets the win last week at Kansas, correct? So he's been in pretty good form.
He has. And, you know, it's very similar, and Brendan and I talked about this on Gone Racing. It's very similar to 2018 when he won the championship. We really had a big 3. Everybody kind of said that year. You had Harvick, Truex, and Kyle Busch. And Joey Logano gets a win in the first race of the final 3-race segment, if you will, at Martinsville. And it advances him to the championship race. And he was kind of an afterthought. And lo and behold, he wins the race and wins the championship. Well, that was 2018. Well, this is setting up much the same way. Joey really had not run that well until maybe the last couple weeks of the regular season. He's been pretty strong during the playoffs. What does he do? He goes out this past week, he wins at Kansas, which is the first race in the final 3-race segment. So now he's locked into Phoenix. I think a lot of people think it's a big 2 this year with Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin, but I wouldn't count Joey Logano out at this point.
I was looking at this right now, 12, 13, 14. So what is it, 14 out of, is it 14 out of like 17 or 18 races? He's got a top 10?
Yeah, he's been running really, really well toward the end of the season. So I think he's as hot as anybody out there. I mean, like, I'm not ready to put him in Kevin Harvick or Denny Hamlin's league yet, but keep in mind, when they get to Phoenix, it's 1 race,
right?
And anything can happen. You know, it's kind of like when you play the Super Bowl. I remember the year the Patriots and the Giants played in the Super Bowl. I mean, the Patriots were undefeated and the Giants lost about 6 or 7 games that year, but it's 1 game for 60 minutes and the Giants were better. And I think that could happen at Phoenix. It's going to be 1 race for 300 miles or whatever the distance of that race is, and if Logano's better or whoever the other 3 guys are in the playoffs, they're going to win the championship.
So what would you think a price would be on him to win at Phoenix? And the reason I ask this, right, is because futures-wise, in terms of winning the Cup Series Championship, he is 4-1 to win it right now. Obviously, Harvick, Hamlin, who have yet to lock themselves in, but a very good shot to get in there, plus 150, plus 250. But what do you think he would be in Phoenix? Like, is 4-1 something you'll get, or you think it'll be a little bit shorter?
I think you may get the Phoenix, and let's see how he does in these next two races, but I think you're probably going to get the Phoenix, and you're going to see that number be between 3 and 4.
Okay. All right, so nothing worth, like, jumping on immediately right now.
No, thing what would have gotten in on Joey Logano was get him last week.
Right.
He was 12-1 going into Kansas, and now you see how far he's dropped because he's locked in.
All right, so win at Kansas, into the championship four. Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, Brad Keselowski make up three above the cut line right now, and we'll see if they can make it in. But again, in terms of points, sitting pretty for the most part. So let's talk about Texas. 1.5 mile track, again, one more time for the people who are watching, comparison tracks and what you want to look at.
Certainly the tracks you compare it to mostly are probably Charlotte and Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Those are the two tracks that's most comparable. The high banking, the flat straightaways, the dog leg sort of in the front straightaway. You know, it's kind of hard to go back and compare some of those races, I think. You know, we've already had one race at Texas this year. Austin Dillon won the race.
It was a weird final.
Well, it was a weird situation because you had a young driver in the back of the field make a really, really poor driving decision that caused a late caution. And you had a number of the top guys, such as Ryan Blaney, who had led 150 laps that day, Kevin Harvick. Some of those guys came in, put fresh tires on, chose to pit. Austin Dillon, Tyler Reddick, his teammate at Richard Childress Racing, they chose to stay out with about 20 laps to go in that race, and they found that track position was more important than fresh tires. Now, Harvick made his way up through the field, but he only made it as high as fifth before the race ended. Now, if we'd had a 30 or 35 lap race to the finish, then maybe Harvick gets up there and passes Dillon and Reddick, but it was a short turnaround, and that's one thing we know can happen in NASCAR. You can get that late caution flag, and the strategy can throw things off kilter. We saw Cole Custer win a race at Kentucky much the same way this year. If everything holds true to form, if we have a normal race or we have everybody taking tires late in the race or something like that, Kevin Harvick, to me, is an overwhelming favorite. I mean, he is so good at Texas. I mean, what, last 10 races, he's had 10 top 10s, 7 top 5s, and it finished 5th this year, not because he was the 5th best car.
So Harvick, right now, we're looking at him. I got to pull up the – you know the odds off the top of your head?
Well, I think on our show we had him at a plus 240 to win the race. But
yep,
he was at he was at minus 115 for a top three. I mean, we don't get a lot of minuses on top threes, but he was plus 240. And the numbers really were pretty good on some others. I mean, Denny Hamlin won there last year, and he was at plus 450 in the odds for our show. And then you've got Logano, who obviously hopped up after last week. He was a 14-1 last week at Kansas, and I think Logano's up to about a plus 650 or plus 750 this week. And I think Keselowski and Elliott will be a couple of guys to watch out for,
too. Yeah, to speak to the dominance of Harvick here, at least in terms of the odds, you're looking at top 10, you're laying 9-10 for Harvick to finish within the top 10.
Yeah,
it's insane.
It's there's no point in even doing it. It's like picking Clemson to win the ACC championship right now, you know.
So, again, so for those who are watching, to reiterate, so Austin Dillon, Tyler Reddick, Joey Logano, Kyle Busch, that was your top four at Texas earlier this year. But kind of reading between the lines, at least guys like Dillon, Tyler Reddick, who are like 50-1 and longer, not worth looking at from a 50-1, actually both of them.
They didn't go out and dominate that race. They were very fortunate, right place, right time, which can happen in NASCAR racing.
Mm-hmm. What about a Kyle Busch at 15-1?
You know, Kyle had a pretty good run last week. This has not been a typical Kyle Busch year. I know there's a lot of hunger in there for him to get a win before the year's over, and he's only got three races left. I guess if you're looking for a somewhat of a long shot, it's not bad. But I just don't see him winning this race.
So I'm curious. So Logano's locked in. Harvick, Hamlin, Keselowski, your three right now, at least in terms of points. Keselowski is the lone guy that is, like, near the cut line. He's 8 points ahead right now. Anybody outside, if we're talking about Elliott, Bowman, Truex, Busch, the Busch brothers, Dillon, any of those guys worth looking at to win this and lock themselves into the championship?
Well, now keep in mind, Kyle Busch and Dillon are out of the playoffs, so they can't get in anyway.
Okay.
Kurt, it's going to be very difficult for Kurt. I think the guy that you got to look at this week who could be the upset could be Alex Bowman. Mm-hmm. There's some similarities in this track also to Las Vegas and Kansas, where we've raced, you know, a couple races in the last 4 weeks. Alex Bowman was probably the second or third best car all day in Las Vegas. I think he ended up finishing fourth in the race. He finished third last weekend at Kansas, and he was probably the fastest car on the track at the end of the race. Alex Bowman just seems to be there every week. I don't know if I'm ready to go out on a limb and pick him to win at 25-1, but I think he's a plus 600 for a top three.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really like him a lot at plus 600 for that top three, but it wouldn't shock me to see him win. And you know, you mentioned the cut line and Keselowski on the cut line. Keep in mind, that cut line can really move if, say, Alex Bowman or Martin Truex Jr. wins this race. Then suddenly, because they were below it, they automatically get into Phoenix, and that cut line moves.
Yeah.
And it could be draft, and we could get to the point where if we have three guys not named Harvick or Hamlin that win these three races, with Logano winning last week, Texas and Martinsville, then either Harvick or Hamlin will not make it to Phoenix.
That'd be insane, considering the seasons.
Considering the seasons they've had,
it's absolutely nuts. All right, so again, going over what we're going to see this coming weekend, we should know too. We're talking about Bowman because you both have brought up Bowman, and at least in terms of his recent form, 7 out of the last 9 races, he has finished within the top 10. He has been running extremely well.
Yes, he has, and that team is hot. His teammate, Chase Elliott, has run well, and Alex Bowman just found out that he's locked in for next year. He's replacing Jimmy Johnson in the 48 car. There's momentum. There's confidence. He's a young, kind of a little bit of a brash guy, and he believes in himself.
Any of these matchups, you guys go over the matchups on Gone Racing, anything that stuck out to you?
We looked at some of the matchups. You know, I don't like those huge numbers on Kevin Harvick. Yep. I mean, there's a lot of minus 150s. There's a minus 170 on a couple of guys. You know, I think one that we did kind of like, I think Joey Logano was a plus 120 against his teammate Ryan Blaney. We also saw Alex Bowman at a plus 120 against Joey Logano. Kind of like both of those because not sure what Logano's hunger factor is going to be, knowing that he's locked in and these two races mean really nothing other than money and a trophy.
Right, because that was the question I posed to you guys early at the playoff run. I was like, well, if you're locked in, what's the motivation? It's like, well, no, you can gather up points to
but
solidify.
Now you can.
Yeah, right. Now you're in. Now it doesn't affect starting grid or anything like that?
Correct. Does not affect any of that. When he gets to Phoenix, there are no points at Phoenix. It's four guys, highest finishers, the champion.
So to go back to Dylan and Reddick really quickly, what I found interesting was looking over some of the matchups was that they're in a matchup together and it's a pick between the two of them.
Which is probably fair.
Yeah, okay.
It's probably fair. I don't know if you have the group matchups, but there was one thing that we had in our group matchups this week. In our group E, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. was a plus 510. And I think Jimmy Johnson was in that group, and I can't even remember
Jimmy
who the
Johnson
other two.
Jimmy Johnson plus 160, Chris Belt plus 260, Cole Custer plus 260, Stenhouse Jr. plus 325.
Well, we had him plus 510
okay.
on our numbers.
Yep.
And at plus 510, we jumped all over. Now, you got plus 325, I wouldn't touch it. But if you can find wherever it was that Ann, our producer, came up with these at plus 510, boy, that's hard to pass when you only have to beat three guys.
And these things will move, too. So, obviously, maybe some sharper guys in terms of the market getting in all over that. All right, man, Gone Racing again. We're getting close to the finish, but make sure you check that out. If you're a VSiN Plus subscriber, you can watch that whenever you want up on VSiN.com. So make sure you sign that up, VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Jeff Motley. Jeff, as always, thank you very much, sir.
Absolutely.
Yep, you got it. All right. We're all done here. Betting Across America is coming up next. Remember, if you want to miss or check out any part of the show, like you just tuned in, miss our spot here with Jeff or with humans earlier in the hour, go to VSiN.com/podcast. You can listen to it there. Or remember, VSiN and our Best Bet podcasts are available wherever you get your podcasts, including the Apple Podcast app. With that, Betting Across America coming at you here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll see you tomorrow for a Football Friday.